Praise the Lord, everyone. Welcome to New Covenant Worship Center. We are live here in the building, amen, for this last Sunday in the month of February. We thank God for allowing us to see a brand new day, a day we've never seen before, amen, that God has graced us and blessed us and kept us throughout another week, amen. So we come to give God some praise this morning. We come to magnify him this morning. We come to lift him up. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about being in the house of the Lord, amen. So come on, if you can just stand to your feet, those that got two good legs, amen. We're going to offer a prayer this morning. We're going to get into praise and worship and get the word, amen. It's going to be an awesome time in the Lord, amen. So Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, God, to give you praise today, God. We come to bless you and honor you and magnify your holy name on today, God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity, God, to come into your presence, God. We thank you for your love, for your grace, for your mercy on today, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing, God, resting, ruling, and abiding in this place on today, Father God. And Lord, we call forth your healing today, Father God. We call forth your power of deliverance on today, Father God. That your Holy Spirit will move and reign in this place like never before, Father God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your peace on this morning, God. We thank you for your mercy and your grace on today, Father God. And Lord, we welcome your presence this morning, Father God, that you may saturate and fill this place on today, God. Lord, we come this morning with great expectation in our heart on today, Father God, that Lord, you will move in a mighty way in the midst of this service, God. And Lord, we thank you on today, Father God, that your presence is ruling, reigning, and abiding on today, Father God, as we come to worship you, Father God, as we come to bow in your presence on this morning, God, as we come to offer our sacrifice of praise this morning, Father God. Lord, we thank you for peace today, Father God. We thank you for blessing us and watching over us on today, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for opening up doors for us, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a life on today, Father God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for keeping us protected from danger, seen and unseen, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for just keeping a roof over our head this morning, God. Thank you for giving us clothes on our back today, Father God. Thank you, Lord, you continue to, Lord, to supply all of our needs and put food on the table, God. Thank you that our bills are paid on today, Father God. Thank you that we have health and strength in our body on today, Father God. Thank you that our mind is stayed on you on today, Father God. And Lord, we bless you, God. We honor you on today, Father God. And Lord, we just release worship in this place this morning, God. We release praise in this place on today, Father God. That your Holy Spirit will move and reign like never before, Father God. Lord, we call forth your blessings on today, Father God. That you will encourage on this morning, God. You will uplift on today, Father God. For those who are down, God, those who are in a place of depression, God. Lord, we speak life unto them on today, Father God. That, Lord, they will stand, God. They will believe on today, Father God. They will trust in your promises, God. That you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us on today, Father God. And Lord, we thank you, Father God. We honor you, Father God. We praise and magnify your holy name on today, Father God. And Lord, we ask you to minister in this place on today, Father God. Heal and deliver, God. Set free on today, Father God. As we offer up praise this morning, Father God, let us come together on one accord on today, God, to lift up your name on today, God. For you said that if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me on today, God. Lord, we're looking for you to do the drawing, God. We're looking for you to heal, God. We're looking for you to strengthen on today, God. And Lord, we need your mighty working power in this place on today, God. As the sound begins to come, God, as we begin to offer worship unto your holy name, God, we say thank you this morning, God. We praise you this morning, God. We bless you this morning, God. For there is none like you, Jesus. Oh, we bless you today. We honor you today. We glorify you today. We magnify you today. Come on, as the sound comes, I need you to lift up your voice and shout hallelujah. Oh, glory to his name.
Hallelujah. Come on, worship Him all over the room. Hallelujah.
Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Oh, sing it one more time.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. Even when I don't feel that you're working, you never stop.
His grace and His mercy. Thank God for His goodness towards us. Amen. 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 Y'all look so good this morning. Amen. You're excited. Amen. Praising the Lord. Give yourself a hand praise. Hallelujah. Amen. We give God praise. Amen. Listen, we're going to move right along in our service on this morning. Thank God for Brother Jeremy. Amen. We appreciate you, man of God. Listen, we might prepare to take up our tithes and offering on this morning. Amen. So let's sow today. Amen. Give as the Holy Spirit leads you to give on this morning. Amen. As we prepare to move forward. Those of you all who are watching online, amen, you can go to our website, www.newcovncwc.com. Click the Give tab and you can give online. Those of you all who use EasyTithe, you know, amen. So if you have that app, amen, you can go on and give and sow your seed, amen, toward our tithes and offering, toward benevolence, or toward our outreach for 2023, amen. Those of you all who use the good old United States Postal Service, amen. You can mail your seed to 2423 Glenwood Avenue, Joliet, Illinois, 60435. Amen. Amen. Those of you all who need an envelope, please raise your hand. Brother Terrence will supply you with an envelope. Amen. As we continue to sow, amen, and do the work of the ministry. Amen. Listen, we cannot do what we do and continue to make it thus far as we have without your financial support. Amen. Amen. So we thank God for every virtual member that's watching, every virtual person, amen, that gives and sows into this ministry. Everyone that's in the building, amen, that sows. Those who even pass along the way and they may drop something in the mailbox. We thank God for those that give and sow and plant seeds into the vision. Amen. I thank God for Team 2 that went out for Operation Off on yesterday. Evangelist Marion and Minister Gloria Roscoe, amen. They blessed 4 families on yesterday, amen. So we thank God for that, amen. Having that impact in the community, amen. And touching lives, amen. So we just give God glory and honor for all that He is doing in the house and what He's doing through the ministry and through each and every one of you all, amen. All right, let me give while y'all... getting y'all giving in. I don't want to miss out on my giving. Amen. How many know giving is a blessing? Amen. Giving is a blessing to me. Hallelujah. Music, amen. You just up that offering, amen. It's 5,000 now, amen. Come on, praise the Lord. You have 50. So let me add these zeros on here. That music just turned you up. Hallelujah. Don't be ashamed, don't be afraid of it, amen. Sow that 5,000, 6,000, 7,000. Gotta speak those things in the atmosphere, amen. Sister Carol, you gonna share your testimony today? You gonna talk about it? You want me to tell you? You can tell it. You can tell it. We're gonna get to you. That thing blessed my life. Y'all got to hear these testimonies. God's doing some miracles, amen. Brother Steve in the building. Listen, those of y'all on my right, if you're ready to sow, amen, you got that $5,000 check in your hand, come on, amen, and sow your seed. It might be $505. Come on and sow it on this morning, amen. Birthday, sir. Come on, Brother Rock. on, Brother James. Blue and gold today.
Sunday morning worship starts at 10 a.m. And we have an upcoming event, Join Us Sunday, which I think this is today, yes. Okay, good. February 26, 2023 at 5 p.m. at All Nations, what is that, Kogik?
Church of God.
Okay, thank you. 507. Right, 507 Water Street, Joliet, Illinois. They will be having a Black History family event to encourage men, family, marriages, finances, and fitness. Apostle Jonas and Pastor Benice will be interviewing married couples to gain wisdom for relationships.
Oh, that's awesome.
Apostle Jonas will be sharing his weight loss journey for a healthy living. Yeah!
Awesome.
Yeah! Elder Melvin Leach is facilitating this event. We look forward to a great fellowship. Yeah, that sounds awesome. That is the end of the announcements for me. Let us usher in the man of the house.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We give God praise. Listen, I think I'm going to do this before the word. Sister Carolyn, you want to come up first? You want to share yours? And after Sister Carolyn shares her testimony, Brother Elijah, you want to share just a tidbit of what you experienced at Asbury University? And then we're going to get into the word. We'll do it like that. Sister Carolyn, going to bless y'all this morning, man, because the year of much is in full manifestation. Amen.
Amen.
I'm dealing with some things, health issues and everything. So I've been to the doctor with the asthma shots and, pills and everything else. So I hesitated about going on the shots, Zoloft shots. Now the shots are $895 a month. I have to take it twice a month. So I've been doing it since August, I think it was last year. Anyway. But anyway, we're doing it and we're paying, the insurance don't pay, we pay out of our pocket. So, it's no problem with that. So I was on the phone talking to my sister, I think it was Thursday or Wednesday. And you see this 311 error code number on your phone. And I said, oh, that's a solicitor calling, I'm not gonna answer it. She left a message. So I called her, I dialed a message back, and the lady was saying, this is from the Asthma Foundation, and we'd like to get in touch with you. Your name came up. So your name came up, and we would like to pay for your asthma shot. I was kind of hesitant about it, so I waited till Jerry came home, and I let him listen to the message. He said, give her a call. And so I called her, and she, Lauren. That's my angel, Lauren. So she told me about, everything about this foundation, this asthma foundation. And they pay for people who is taking this Zoloft. And my name came up.
Jesus.
And I didn't put an application. I said, well, I didn't put an application or anything. She said, your name came up. So let us help you. And she said, only thing, I said, what is the restriction? I said, is this legal or anything like that? You're not going to my bank account or anything like that. And she said, no, it's legal. She said, only thing is people who, with this foundation, they give money to the Asthma Foundation. And so she said, only thing that we, it's a restriction, only thing you can't make over $100,000. And I said, not yet. I said, but we will. And she said, okay. So she got the paperwork and everything. So she said, stay on the phone and I will call you back. She said, stay on the phone. I'm gonna put everything through. And she said, my God, this is the quickest I ever got. It was like 2 seconds. She called me. She said, you are approved for August of 20. They went back. She said, they used to go back. They only do the first 30 days. She went back to August 22. And she said, they're going to pay for everything from August on up to now. In January, we have to meet a deductible with our insurance. And so we had met, whatever the Social Security didn't pay and his insurance, we had to pay out of our pocket. So I told her, I said, I'm going to be honest with you, we already paid that. She said, that's okay. We're going to write you a check and get your money back. She said, it takes 6 weeks to get your money, get the check back. She said, well, we'll reimburse you for the money. And I told her, I said, okay, that's fine. And I told her, I said, God bless you. I said, you're my angel today. And so that was my testimony.
Come on, give God some praise. Amen. Congratulations. Your name came up. Congratulations, Sister Carolyn. Your name came up, and we're going to pay for your shots all the way back to 2021, amen. Reimburse you, credit you. You can't tell me about favor. You can't tell me, listen, but this is the key to their testimony. Sowing seeds. Deacon Jerry and Sister Carolyn put seeds in the ground. I'm not talking about no peanut seeds, no tomato seeds. I'm talking about financial seeds of money that they put in the hands of people. Just last Sunday, Deacon Jerry came losing the cafe. He put a seed in my hand. And I'm telling you, that's what you have to get a revelation of, is that God will begin to move. We read the scriptures last week about Cornelius, about how his particular offerings came up before God. Amen. You got to be in a position to know when God is speaking to you and sow and lead as God is blessing you. And I'm telling you, it's just amazing. Amen.
Amen.
Sister Karen, go ahead.
You said about the seed, I always... I'm brushing my teeth. That's my prayer room, my bathroom. I always ask the Lord, like, who can I bless today?
Yes.
And I do it for the Lord. And he'll tell me, I'm obedient.
Come on.
Whatever he is, whatever he says.
Amen.
I'm blessed Terrence. He told me, best Terrence. I'm blessed Terrence this morning before he got to church. He asked me, he said, what am I supposed to do with this? I mean, this is a seed that I'm blessed. I'm blessing you, man.
Yes.
Hey.
Good.
Tell him I need to be fun.
Think you ain't got nothing to do with her seed, amen. Don't mess with her seed, amen. She says, so what the Terrence, amen. That's what it is. You ain't getting that back. He ain't gonna spend it on you either. Amen. I'm telling you, God is amazing. I just thank God for his grace and his mercy, amen. Because I'm telling you, that's a blessing. And that's supernatural. Like I said, they were seeking her out. She didn't apply for anything. Her name came up. And God will do just that. Amen.
Yes.
God is good. Come on, Brother Elijah. Now, listen, Brother Elijah had an opportunity last week because he was going to visit his son in Kentucky. And many of you all, how many people heard about the Asbury Revival? Amen. At Asbury University. It's in a very small town in Kentucky. It's about, 45 minutes from Josh?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, about 45 minutes from Joshua, where he's at. He didn't get a chance to go, but one of his friends went. But Elijah was down there at that time, and he had an opportunity to go. So he's going to share a little bit about what he experienced and how it was. Go ahead, Brother Elijah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. First of all, being in Kentucky last week was actually a prophetic word being fulfilled that the apostle gave me the very first time that I came here about restoration with my children.
Wow. Yeah.
And my son had called and asked for me to come. But this would also be the first time that I would see my two grandsons since they were 4 and 6. They're now 18 and 16. As well as my granddaughter, and it would mark the first time that I see my son and all his children and myself together for the first time. So that was why I was in Kentucky. And I happened to post a picture on Saturday, and somebody from here said, not from the church, but one of my friends said, are you going to the revival in Kentucky? And I responded, what revival? I didn't know there was a revival. But then I Googled it, and Asbury popped up, and I was like, wait a minute, this is different.
Yes.
Because I didn't see no preachers.
Yes.
It said it happened with students.
Yeah.
Huh. And then I was on the radio listening to the Christian radio, and it said, the best time to come is not when the crowd. So I literally got to Asbury, going through the dark roads. Ain't no lights, no gas stations. Anyway, I get there, and it's 1:30 in the morning. And the moment I get out of the car, I feel something
yes,
like I've never felt. And it was the peace
of
God. It was the peace of God. And it was over the whole grounds. I never seen people of God with those kind of attitudes. Everybody was humble and peaceful. They said, well, right now it's for people 25 and under, which I thought was amazing.
Come on.
It was a building full of 25 and under, praising God. I couldn't get in, but I got to the window, and I was filming from the crack in the window, because I actually only went because I wanted to know, is this God? Is this really God? I can tell y'all, this is God moving down there. This is God moving down there. And I met two widows, Apostle.
Wow.
They were widows. Their husbands had been pastors. And they had passed away. And these two ladies were at the airport when they heard about the revival in Kentucky. They canceled their flights. They went and got in the line for a rental car, took a few hours, got the rental car, and then drove 6 hours to get to Kentucky, only to be told they couldn't come in.
Wow.
You know what she said? God don't care.
Yeah.
God don't care if we can get in. He sent us in.
Yes.
He sent us in. And then she began to say, Apostle, that's revival going on in there, but God wants revival to start in you.
Yeah.
And you, and you, and you, and you. It was an amazing thing. I met people who had literally came 4,000 miles to be at that Rio de Janeiro.
Yes.
Port-au-Prince. That's another one. What's that gonna be? What's that?
Brazil.
Mm-hmm. 4,000 miles. This was amazing. You know what I didn't see too? I didn't see no parking lot prophets.
Come on.
It was organized chaos. They didn't even know what hit them.
Jesus.
It was 20,000 people there last Sunday.
Come on.
That was outside.
Come on.
The line to get in was over a mile long. The car line was over 2 miles long. God is moving. And now it's moving to other colleges as well. Listen, it blessed my soul. It blessed my soul. I'm still blessed. I'm still fired up. I'm still fired up. God bless you.
Listen. I just believe God is praying. I mean, the body of Christ has been praying for revival for our young people. And I'm telling you, we don't ever know where it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, but we just believe God. And now this thing is igniting in other campuses. And what's so amazing, as he said, there were no preachers there. And people were, you know, people, the body of Christ, I said, we kill our own. Because there's so many people that say, oh, this ain't God, you know. You know, let me get down there and see it, you know, because you're a pastor, apostle, or prophet. No. God is not working in that manner. He's trying to open us up to the change of the book of Acts.
Yes.
To be restored back in the 21st century. And if we would grab hold to it, we would see every church filled to capacity. But if we keep holding on to our traditions and our religious ways, we're going to not see the powerful move of God that God is trying to release in the earth. Amen. We have to be open. Amen. We've got to be in position. Amen. Come on, Sister Yolanda, go ahead. Get him a mic, and then we're going to hear from Sister Bridget. Sister Yolanda want to say something. She, you know, she ain't gonna get up too often. Amen. Amen.
Well, I'm saying this to, you know, we always give God the glory, but we're going to make this visible, giving God the glory. And he wants you to know. You feel sometimes you don't know that he's always around you. You know, we take it for granted. And one thing about it, when my grandson prays, I always have him pray for protection and teaching him that his angels always around us all the time. And he says it in his prayer. You know, so 2 weeks ago, I totaled out my car with him in the car.
Jesus.
And I don't want to say something told me because it's the spirit, you know, give honor where it's due, you know. Holy Spirit told me to move his booster seat behind me. Never do that. You know, our kids are, yes, beforehand. We have them on our right side. So I moved Ryland's car seat over. Well, not too far from home, just getting on Theodore. And now that I know, it was my fault. The accident was my fault. But just cramming to us, the whole right side of my car, you know, they totaled it out. So, you know, Ryland would have been on that side of the car.
Come on. Come on.
So we walked out of that accident just like... we were in the parking lot. We opened the door. We got right out. You know, nothing. Literally nothing wrong with us. You know.
Glory
to God. And yesterday, well, anyway, and I teach him. I told him, you know, he was crying, and I gave him a high five. I said, "See, can you pray that God protect us? Yes. That angels are always around us, right?" And he said, "Gma, that accident," I cut him off. I said, "Yeah, you know that accident where God kept us and protected us and we didn't get hurt, Ryland?" I said, "Those prayers that you prayed, you know, like that." And yesterday, we riding around. I said, "Joseph, come on, let's go ride around, just look for a car, you know, just looking." And we're in Bolingbrook, and the tire, the car just started riding funny, you know, and it sounded like when your car is, the tire is flat, and you, that sound that it does. And I called my brother, and he said, "Well, y'all take it easy, turn around, because it might be an axle or, you know, whatever." So we coming from Bolingbrook with this noise in the car, and I'm praying, you know. We called our mechanic. We like, we on our way, and he's up in Lockport. And we just, you know, so, you know, that big bridge over in Lockport that you have to go over. And Joseph kept saying, "I don't want it to stop us on this bridge." And I'm like, "Keep going. We praying, you know, it's not. We're going to make it, you know." And our mechanic is right not far from there. But anyway, when we got under the canal, you heard that loud noise. And I'm like, just pull over, you know, pull right over. And to see what that car looked like with that, I don't know what you call it, the rim or wheel or whatever on that ground like that. And then you see that all the things, the lugs or whatever, you see that that's literally out, you know, they weren't tight. So 2 weeks ago, four new tires at Discount Tire. They didn't put the things on tight, the lugs on tight. So he gets out the car looking, what we call the tow truck. He gets out the car looking for the tire. He's like, "That tire going on down the creek." And I'm like, "Wow, you know?" And going all down. And my brother came to pick us up. And, you know, he works on cars and stuff. And he's like, "Where is that tire?" And he looking, I'm like, "The tire gone, you know. How you gonna find a tire in the creek, you know?" So last night he called, he said, "Lulu, you know, I'm gonna ride down that canal." He said, "Because I walk that canal. Wow. I mean, I ride the bike." He said, "So I'm gonna ride that bike because that tire is there." He said, "That water is not that deep. Something that caught that tire. It's stuck on a rock or something." That boy get out there yesterday, last night. He sends us a picture on the phone. "There is the tire." He said, "Well, I'm getting that tire. He said, "I don't care. I got to find a pole, and I'm going to put a hook on it." And then this morning, we sitting in Sunday school. I text him. I said, "It's important. I'll call you back." He said, "I got that tire." He said, "I got that tire." He said, "And this is what you need to show the people that whatever was loose, whatever, showed them that they did this, that this tire fell out." So to say all of this, you know, God protects us. You know, we take things for granted, and, you know, like I said, telling him it's always angels all around us. Yes. All around us. Yes. And, you know, just to show us, "I got you, you know. know, I got you. You know, so I give all honor and thanks to God, you know, because he's a protector.
The other last thing is that this morning, when the praise team began to sing Waymaker, Promise Keeper, it reminded us that Bryland, when he's here, he loves to hear that song. And sometimes he would be in the back seat of the car singing Waymaker, Promise Keeper, on the song, and over and over again. So it was something that was relevant to what we had just experienced, because we could be gone today, because that tire came up in the front, and it went across the fairway into the canal, and was going down that way. Our car, we were having to stay in control to get the car to a stopping point, because at that point, I only have three tires.
You got three tires.
And that right, and that tire, the driver's side, was gone. And so, we could be gone. So we take it for granted that we're still here today. And a lot of times we got to give God the praise and give him the glory and also listen to the Holy Spirit.
That's it. He's
reminding us to not do certain things, but we have to yield unto it at that time and know that that's who's letting us know because something is still happening.
Amen. I'm telling you. You know, it's so much in that testimony because the, one of the main things is that you training up your children, her grandchildren, to pray. And then when you have the teachable moment to see their prayers manifest, you have to teach that. You have to be aware of that because those seeds are being planted. And you have to know no matter what happens along the way, the scripture says to train up a child in the way that they should go, for when they are old, they shall not depart from it. I'm telling you, you got to believe God. No matter what it looks like, there's some seeds in your children and your grandchildren that God's going to allow them to come up when the time is needed. Amen? So I thank God for that. I'm telling you, protection is real. And his angels are real. Amen? And it's going to be so good that we're going to see that in the scriptures today. Amen? So God is in control of this whole thing. Come on, Sister Bridget. Then we're going to get into the word.
I just want to give a testimony. As we know, the anniversary of my daughter's death was Thursday. And I had told the Lord, I said, you know what, Lord? I just need to celebrate her. I don't want to be sorrowful. I don't want to be crying. And when my grandson, which is her son, Isael, found out that the Jesse White Tumblers was there, I called the principal, but like, excuse me, one of y'all in LeBarion for Lockport Township, here's my grandson, and I would love for him to be recognized. They were putting on a Black History program. When I tell you the preferential treatment that they gave our family, because it was only for the students and staff, but they allowed us to come. And you're talking about, I felt like I was like the vice president, you know. But I did. It was so amazing, and we had such a good time. Was no time to be in sorrow, because we were celebrating her and her children. And I love the testimony to piggyback, because I remember we were talking about the revival for the children. And with me, with my grandkids, plead the blood of Jesus over them every morning for school. Amen. So I thank God for it and the favor of the Lord. But I just wanted to close out with this little Black History skit. I haven't had this in my at least since sixth grade, I'm going to tell you. The thing about it was a skit I wanted to do, but they gave it to another preacher, not me. So, but anyway, I was in contact with her and I told her about it. But it was a skit by Layson Hughes, and it was about a single mother at home, and her son came in to tell her he was quitting school. So here it goes. Lord, son, what I'm going to do with you? You make me so mad, I don't know what to do. You think you's a man, and one day I hope you be, but you've got about enough sense to stuff a skinny flea. Done work myself till I'm nearly by dead, so as you can go to school and get something in your head. And you come telling me you gonna quit, cause they ain't got what you wanna get? Well, they sure is got much more than you, and if you don't get back to school, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going upside your head with my big fist. And when I swing, I don't aim to miss. I done talked and talked till my face is blue. Still can't talk no sense into you. Talking about you so proud you're black. If you was, you'll know how to act. A heap of folks done went through hell, marching in the streets and going to jail. Some mighty good folks are laying up dead so as you can go to school and get some in your head. Now you gonna stop yourself from acting like a fool? You get them books, boy, and you get back to that school.
You see, we got everything up in this ministry here. God is good, amen. You see where that creative side of Yvette came from, amen? Amen. We give God praise. Listen, I'm excited. God is doing great things. So listen, let's get this word and get you all home so you can do what you do. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 12. We're going to close out our series, Where Are the Believers, on today. It's been an absolutely awesome 9 weeks. This is the 9th week we've been in this series. And next month we're going to start our new series, Amen, Equipped to Serve. Equipped to Serve. Amen. So I'm excited about what God is going to do starting on next month. Amen. But let's close this out with Acts chapter 12. I'm telling you, this thing is going to bless you today. It's going to encourage you and lift you up as we close this out. So let's go right into it. I'm in the New Living Translation, Acts chapter 12. We're going to start reading at verse 1. It says, about that time, King Herod Agrippa began to persecute some believers in the church. He had the apostle James, John's brother, killed with a sword. When Herod saw how much displeased the Jewish people, he also arrested Peter. This took place during the Passover celebration. Then he imprisoned him, placing him under the guard of 4 squads of 4 soldiers each. Herod intended to bring Peter out for public trial after the Passover. But while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. Let's stop right here before we move on. Listen, so King Herod Agrippa has persecuted the believers. He's in a position where he's killed the apostle James. The historians say that he killed him with the sword and actually split him in half. We're going to see a video where they actually see him. They cut his head off. But he had killed him. And then he said, because this had pleased the Jews and he was in a position to gain this notoriety and to gain this particular relationship with the Jews, that he wanted to please them. He saw that it pleased them. So he said, you know what? I'm going to go and arrest Peter, because Peter is attached to them. And Peter's been spreading this good news. Peter's been teaching this message of the way. And so he goes and he imprisoned him. He said, but under the Jewish tradition, when it's the time of the Passover, you can't kill a person. You can't, crucify, or, you know, you begin to kill this person. So Peter had to wait till after the Passover to have his trial. But in the meantime, the believers, just as Brother Elijah shared with Ashbury Revival, it didn't have to be a pastor, a prophet, a teacher, a lead person. It was just a group of believers that come together and they were praying for Peter. And as they were praying earnestly for him, listen to what happens in verse 6. It says, the night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep. Mm-hmm. The night before your death, you find a place to rest?
Yeah.
In between 2 soldiers chained up, and you choose to fall asleep. But when you've grown in the things of God, because you got to go back to when Peter was at the Mount of Transfiguration and he fell asleep. Because at that point, he didn't understand and really didn't believe anything was going to happen on the Mount. And then you can find Peter asleep when it was a time for Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane before he was going to go forth and to be crucified. And here we found Peter asleep, but he was asleep then in disobedience, because Jesus asked him, can you pray with me for 1 hour? And so here, this time when we find Peter asleep, I believe he's asleep because now he's come to a place of trusting and believing that God is in control of my life. So whatever you're going to do to me, whatever's going to happen to me, I put my faith and trust in God. So I'm going to rest tonight. I'm going to sleep tonight. And I know that whatever comes my way, God's going to handle the situation. Because if I open my eyes on the next time that I see, I'm going to be in glory. And so he had a place of rest in that. And so the night before Peter was placed on the trial, he was asleep, fastened with 2 chains between 2 soldiers. Others stood guard at the prison gate. Suddenly there was a bright light in the cell, and an angel of the Lord stood before Peter. The angel struck him on the side to awaken him and said, quick, get up.
and the chains fell off his wrist. Then the angel told him, get dressed and put on your sandals. And he did. Now put on your coat and follow me, the angel ordered. Now listen to this. Peter thought that he was asleep. He thought he was having a dream. But this was actually happening, and the angel had come to begin to free him and to begin to release him, because Peter didn't know the intent of where the believers had been praying for him for something to happen. Earnestly, they were praying, and now God dispatched angels, just as she was sharing. Angels are always around us. Angels are always around us to protect us and guide us and bring us to the place to do supernatural things in our life. So the angel came to the cell, and he allowed every one of the prison guards not to even notice that Peter was up moving. He had allowed them to fall to a place of sleep, or allowed them to fall into a trance where they didn't intervene. They didn't try to stop. But Peter, in the midst of him, he had to be obedient to the angel's voice in order to move. He had to realize, even in this dream, I'm going to obey this angel that's coming to speak to me. And so it says in verse 9, so Peter left the cell following the angel, but all the time he thought it was a vision. He didn't realize it was actually happening. They passed the first and second guard posts and came to the iron gate leading to the city, and this opened for them all by itself. So they passed through, and they started walking down the street, and then the angel suddenly left. Verse 11, Peter finally came to his senses. It's really true, he said. The Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and from the Jewish leaders had planned to do to me. God intervened. He said, listen, Peter, I still have work for you to do. I still have things for you to accomplish in the earth. And so I have need of you, and I'm going to spare you. I'm going to save you. I'm going to send the angel to come in and to free you and bring you and lead you out throughout the gates, throughout the outside of the prison. Because why? God wants to, he protects us and preserves those who he has a mandate on their life. He has an assignment on your life. He has things you need to accomplish. That thing that you thought you weren't going to survive, that thing that you thought you weren't going to come out of, that thing that you thought, you know what, God, how am I going to get out of this situation? How am I going to make it through that thing? But God has kept you. He's provided for you. He's protected you along the way. Why? Because there's purpose for you to fulfill in the earth. So don't think it's strange, or don't get to the point and place to think that you don't have any worth, or you don't have any value, you don't have anything to give to the earth. No, if you're still here living and breathing and breathing your body, you have an opportunity to glorify God. You have an opportunity to fulfill your purpose in the earth. Amen? Verse 12, when he realized this, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were what? Gathered for prayer. What has been a consistent thing that we've seen throughout the past 11 chapters as we've been teaching in the book of Acts? There's always prayer going on. There is always prayer being made manifest. And so this is why the enemy comes to attack people and get them away from prayer, get them out of prayer, because we don't realize the weapon that prayer begins to release in the earth realm. And this is why he brings so many distractions. This is why he tells people, you know what, I can't pray, or I don't know what to pray, I don't know what to say. And we get all confused, and then we get discouraged, and we say, you know what, no, I'm not going to pray, I'm not going to do this. And so that's the enemy's tactic, to try to lure you away and get you out of God's presence. But you have to maintain your position. You got to maintain your tenacity and your dedication. No matter what's coming at me, no matter what's going on, I'm going to still pray. I'm going to still intercede. I'm going to still cry out. And notice this, you cannot find yourself at a place of prayer just because trouble came. Trouble can't be your reason to get into a place of prayer. You have to have a consistent prayer life. When things is going well, things is blessing, things is opening up for you, God is increasing you, there's overflow in your life. God, I thank you that you're bringing me overflow. I pray that you give me wisdom to maintain it. I thank you for the blessing that my name came up and you said congratulations to me. I thank you, Father God, that the blessings are flowing. I thank you that I got good health. I thank you, Lord, that my children are blessed. You have to be in a position to pray even when it's good. Amen. So Peter found himself, when he left the prison, he knew where to go hang out at. He didn't get out of prison and say, you know, I'm going to find me a chick.
Come on, sir.
Can I make this 21st century? Because y'all need to be real in here. If you've been locked up, chained up, and bound as a man, let's be real now. I haven't been around a chick. Let me find me a chick. Let me find me somewhere to hang out. Let me go over here on this road. Let me go over here to the strip club. Let me go. Y'all don't be deep in here on me today.
Come on, bro. Come on, sir.
Don't be deep in here today. You're sanctified. Some of your women, amen, you get out of jail, you've been locked up 12 years, baby. You're trying to find you a piece of man somewhere. Uh-oh. Well, I'm sorry. Let me go back to the scripture because Peter found himself on the pathway to the house where there was prayer going on. So he said he knocked at the door in the gate, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to open it. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed. Instead of opening the door, she ran back inside and told everyone, "Peter is standing at the door." They said, "Girl, look. Now, what you been doing?" They knew Peter was in jail. They knew he was in prison. They knew that, hey, he normally in this under circumstance, the average criminal at that time, I mean, the worst of criminals would be under the care of two prisoners. But Peter was under care of four prisoners. Chained to them. And so they was like, "Ain't no way Peter got out. Ain't no way Peter at this door." So it said, "You're out of your mind," they said. When she insisted, they decided it must be his angel. And notice this, how frequently they begin to see angels, how frequently angels were in their presence in this time when we see the scriptures, because God was leading the people. And this is all they had to depend on, was the Holy Spirit's guidance and through God's voice, his direction. And so this is why we see the evidence of his angels appearing so frequently. It says, verse 16, "Meanwhile, Peter continued knocking." He said, "When they finally opened the door and saw him, they were amazed. He motioned for them to quiet down and told them how the Lord had led him out of prison." Oh, my God. Peter got there and said, "Listen, I got to tell you what happened to me. I got to share a testimony with you." He said, "I got to give God the glory and give him the praise." And that's what he was doing. In the midst of his situation, he said, "I come to give God glory. Let me tell you." He said, "Tell James and the other brothers what happened." He said, and then he went to another place. So Peter said, "Listen, I've done what I needed to do. I came and shared with them. I'm still going on to do the assignment that God has called me to do." He continued on preaching the gospel, the very thing that he was put in jail for. He continues to keep going on because in previous scripture, he said, "Should we obey man rather than God?" Peter has got this boldness now because he's reassured in his relationship. He's reassured in the things that he's gone through with God. See, you need to understand something. God is taking you through some things so you can really know and trust that he's for you and that he's with you. And see, sometimes we miss that opportunity because we circumvent and we begin to abort and we give up prematurely and we don't give God all the time that he needs to prove himself to us and to begin to guide us and to lead us, to let us know, "You know what? I got you. I'm protecting you. I'm watching over you." You mean to tell me because Sister Yolanda, your accident was literally 2 weeks ago, and then 2 weeks later her husband is in, they both in a car together with an accident? So the enemy was trying to attack, and he came in the same vein through the cars. So you never know what things can happen where the enemy is trying to attack. But by the blood of Jesus and by the power of the prayers of even the baby, oh my God, the young child, God hears the voice of those children. Y'all know this. So God is faithful. And it says, now in verse 18? At dawn, there was a great commotion among the soldiers about what had happened to Peter. Herod Agrippa ordered a thorough search for him. When he couldn't be found, Herod interrogated the guards and sentenced them to death. Afterward, Herod left Judea to stay in Caesarea for a while. Now, the guards had to lose their life because the angel came and freed them. Because King Agrippa may have thought, you know, Peter may have talked some stuff into them and hey, got them saved and may have set them free. So he had to kill them. That's the persecution of what the people were going through in this time and in this era of how serious it was that people did not want to hear. They didn't want to see people being delivered and set free. So look at verse 20. Now Herod was very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. So they sent a delegation to make peace with him because their cities were dependent upon Herod's country for food. The delegates won the support of Blastus, Herod's personal assistant. And an appointment with Herod was granted. So here it is. These people needed King Herod because they supplied food. And there was a friction between them. And they were trying to come to bring peace so that they can maintain the supply of food. Because when you start messing with my food, I'm going to, hey, I got to do some stuff to get this back on track. You can't mess with my Wheaties and my, you know, you can't mess with my Bob Evans sausages. You know, hey, stuff, you know, we're going to have to get some stuff in line because you're messing with my food supply. So they got a meeting together. And they begin to come before Herod. And so listen, it says, when the day arrived, Herod put on his royal robes sat on his throne and made a speech to them. The people gave him great ovation, shouting, it's the voice of a what?
God.
Of what?
God.
Small g?
Small g.
Not a man. So the people are manipulating the situation to get what they want.
Yes. Right.
So they are pumping up his ego and beginning to talk about how great of a speech and an orator he is. And they begin to now begin to parallel him and compare him. They said, it's the voice of God, not a man. So now they putting this particular this label on King Agrippa, and they putting this particular thing in his head. And so as king, and he's trying to gain and win the notoriety among the Jews, he's in a position where he receives the accolade that he's a God. But you can't play with taking God's glory.
That's right.
Just as Brother Joseph and Sister Yolanda had to stand up and say, you know, we're going to give God the glory. It wasn't something that told me. It was the Spirit that told me.
Yeah.
Move the booster seat to the left.
Yeah.
Move the booster seat behind you, because God knew what was getting ready to come down the line. And so here, listen what happens, because you got to pay attention, because you got to realize this is what goes on when you're in the position when you're out of the will of God. And it says in verse 23, instantly, an angel of the Lord struck Herod with a sickness because he accepted the people's worship instead of giving the glory to who?
God.
Big G, capital G, the OGGG, the true and living God, the original gangster, Big G. It makes it look, it says giving glory to God. So he was consumed with worms and died. Ooh, what a horrible death. So you mean to tell me he's the king? And they said this particular day, they said when you he would dress up in his robes, he said his robes actually had real silver all throughout it. He was blinged out. He was showing out for the people. He sat on his throne. And he was sitting there and ready to just be showered with these accolades and being worshipped. Because that's what the enemy does. The enemy desires worship. That's what got him cast out of heaven. And so he took worship from God, because he got out of a place of realizing he's just a man. And how many men and women here in the earth today in the 21st century in 2023 still think that they're gods? Still think that they're in a position to be not the G-O-D God, but the big God. The G capital G-O-D. So the Bible says instantly the angel of the Lord struck Herod. See, this is why you have to be mindful and be careful. This is why encouragement and leadership and different things, as I've learned along the way. Oh, that's a good message, Pastor. That's a good word, Apostle. Thank you, Apostle. God's on your life. I say, glory to God. God, I give you the glory. Thank you, but we give glory to God. Because we don't ever want to get it twisted that I'm not to be worshipped. It's not about me. It's God working through me, or God working through you. And in whatever capacity that God begins to use, you say, God, I give you the glory. I thank you for allowing me that. And that's what hindered him and caused him to die. Now listen, we're going to close. I'm going to show you a video and we're going to close out. It says, meanwhile, the word of God continued to spread, and there were many new believers. Look, oh, James just got split open. And y'all still preaching? You're still sharing the good news? You're not in fear? You're not fearful what can happen? Just because King Agrippa died, it's another king going to raise up. It's another one going to raise up. There's going to still be some animosity. There's still going to be some tension. But they still continue to go on. Meanwhile, the word of God continued to spread, and there were many believers. When Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission to Jerusalem, they returned, taking John Mark with them. Amen?
Amen.
That's from what we read in chapter 11 on Thursday night. But here we see how God began to move and to deliver Peter out of prison. The angel came to free him, because God was preparing and continuing on to use Peter. He still had ministry for him to do. He said, I'm going to save you. You're getting ready to be crucified and be killed and murdered on this next day. But you know what? I'm going to interrupt the enemy's plan.
Yeah.
And the very one that was trying to kill him ended up dying.
Come on now.
See, you got to realize, he had sold murder. Because he had already killed his his guards and that he was going to kill Peter, which was God's representative. And so he had murder in his heart and had death upon him because he was ready to bring death on other people. And the very thing he was trying to release on other people came to him. This is why you got to be mindful. You got to be careful. Vengeance is mine, said the Lord. Be mindful. Use wisdom before you go laying out throwing curses on people. Oh my God. You can't bless what you can't curse what God has already blessed. And so here, God begins to do this work. And now I want you to see it in its fullness in a 4 minute and about 50 second video that's gonna bring it all the way home. I'll give you a visual today so you can be able to get it and you'll be done and we'll get the whole four relationships. Is that video ready, Sister Chantel?
Time of King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was bringing him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up.
"Quick, get up,"
he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him,
"Put on your clothes and sandals."
And Peter did so.
"Wrap your cloak around you and follow me,"
the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said,
"Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating."
When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed,
"Peter is at the door!"
"You're out of your mind,"
they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be his angel." But Peter kept on knocking. door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison.
"Tell James and the brothers about this,"
he said, and then he left for another place. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed.
Amen. I'm telling you, that just sealed it, amen. That just gave you the whole visual of what transpired in that chapter 12. And it was actually another little video I didn't share. A minute video I actually showed where King Agrippa had suddenly had died in the midst of talking to those people, and well, the people giving him, you know, those accolades and telling him this is the voice of God and not of man. And instantly it showed him dying. But we have to be mindful that we give God the glory. Yeah. We have to be mindful that we give God the praise and that we find ourselves in a place of prayer consistently. Amen. Not just when trouble comes, not just when things are not out of order, but I got to be consistent in my prayer life. Amen. Amen. So listen, I appreciate you all on today. I thank God for all the testimonies. Thank God for awesome praise and worship and what God is doing. And we're going to hear our last from Sister Bridget, and then we're going to leave down from this place. Good to see you, Sister Tawanda. Good to see you in the building. Amen. Appreciate you. Kyla's here back there. Amen. I know she's been waiting for me to call her name. She need massive prayer. Amen.
Good morning, everyone.
Amen.
Good morning.
I am so excited about what God is doing for my life and in my life. And my mother passed away on Valentine's Day, and I have to clean her apartment. So I was there yesterday with a friend, and God began to move. He had me first prop the door open, and the other times we were there, we didn't open the door. So we started staging stuff outside that we were going to, outside the apartment, and thought, well, we'll just let anyone take it. We'll put a sign up free if you need it or want it. And so after that, another gentleman that lived next door to my mother came and said, what is this for? And we explained to him. And he said, oh, he said, I'll help you. Let's go get the cart. He had the cart, brought it up, was taking all the things downstairs, putting them in the lobby so that the other residents could come and pick whatever it was that they wanted. And the awesome thing about it is a lot of the stuff was new. And it was things my mother had never used. She just always wanted stuff. So the things were new. There was nothing wrong with them, and we gave away suitcases, cooking stuff, just all kinds of stuff. And God was sending people, and then the people came up. He told people that we were giving stuff away, so people were coming from other floors. And this one woman came up. I was cleaning out the closet in the front of the apartment, and I forgot my mother had a sewing machine. And I was like, man, what are we going to do with this? This ain't something that most people even want. So, and I don't need one. I have too many sewing machines. And so this woman came up not even 3 minutes after I discovered the sewing machine. And she, I said, it was two of them. Her and her friend came up. And I said, do you need a sewing machine? And she said, yes, mine just broke. I was like, I got one for you right here. I gave her the sewing machine. And God was just all over the place.
Yeah.
And then another woman came in, and she had just moved there 5 months ago, and she was saying how she needed some things, and we gave her laundry stuff and what we had left. We had umbrellas, we had linens, all kinds of stuff, and so we gave her that. And so she then said that she was getting ready to go. We were talking about the Lord, And the Holy Spirit prompted me to ask her if I could pray for her. And I did. And she was so willing. We all embraced her, my friend, and her. And the Holy Spirit gave me what to pray. And I could feel her responding to the prayer as I prayed. And she said, when I finished, she said, "How did you know all those things were wrong with me? My eyes and my ears, and I have dryness in my ears and my joints with the inflammation." She was like, how did you know that? And I said, "The Holy Spirit knows. He told me how to pray for you." And I said, "Well, I had to ask your permission to pray for you." And I can't remember how we got to this. I said, "Even if you had said no, I was going to pray for you anyway. You just wouldn't have been here, but that was okay." But I had confirmation that God healed her of all of those things. And she was so excited. She said, "You ladies touched my life today. And I am so happy that I met you." And the Holy Spirit gave me, I felt so much joy. And I was telling the people that were taking the things, "You are blessing me as much as you feel blessed by these things that you want, or, you know, it's fine. I'm so happy." And it felt good to give it to people that my mother lived with in that building. So I just wanted to share that. Oh, and there was another lady that came and needed a couch. And we took it up to her apartment and dropped it off on the cart. Another lady needed mattresses. She was the first one, I think, that came by. And she just happened to look in, and she said, "We're sleeping on an air mattress." And then her friend came later, not knowing we had made arrangements already to get her the mattress. She said, "Yeah, my friend needs a mattress, and the air is going out of it. They're sleeping on an air mattress. It goes out by morning." And so I was like, "Well, we already talked to her, and she's going to come and get it." Then her fiance came and said, "Well, do you think we can have it now?" I'm like, "Sure. If you need mattresses, you can have them. Just take them." So he came in, slid them right down the hall. And she had said they called the mattress store, and they told them to come in, and they can put it, you know, just pick it up and put it on their car. And she said, "Well, we don't have a car, and we don't have a way to get it here." And so this week, they just took it down, had to take it down the hall. So I give God all the glory. I had no idea that he was going to work like that day. We had to clean out the apartment. We're almost done with everything. And it was because of God. He sent somebody to help us and did over, just above and beyond what I wouldn't even know to ask. And he knew that stuff could be sat in the lobby. So he just took care of everything. He was hauling stuff down, getting people to come up and look at it. And it was just a wonderful experience and a wonderful show of God. I know that he was there, and he was showing me the whole time that he was there. He did everything that needed to be done, and I am just so grateful to God for his work.
Before you give up your mic, Sister Bridget, do you have the arrangements? Are they going to be this Saturday for the arrangements for your mom?
Yes.
Okay. You can announce so everybody can know.
Oh, sorry. My mom's service will be here at New Covenant, 9 o'clock visitation, 9 to 10, and then the service from 10 to 11.
Amen. Come on, give God some praise. Amen. Let's stand our feet. It's 11:35. You get ready to go home.
What?
Huh? See that?
You the boss.
Amen. Are there any first-time guests in the building today? I think everybody, I don't think I see any first-time guests. Good to see you again, Brother Donald. Good to see you, Sister Lexi. Amen. What's going on, man? Good to see you. Amen. Listen, we're going to pray and just believe God for miracles this week. Amen.
Amen.
Miracles. Whatever you've been standing in need of, God's going to do it. Amen?
Amen.
So, Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, God, to give you praise, to give you glory, to give you honor, God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to come into your presence today. We thank you for everything our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, God. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you for your power, God. And Lord, as we leave this place, we ask that you will lead and guide us and give us traveling mercy, Father God. That, Lord, you will take us safely to our various destinations, Lord, and that you will continue to lead and guide us throughout the course of the week, Father God. And we decree miracles, signs, and wonders shall follow us, God, each and every day of our life. And we release the year much with maximum results to be made manifest in our lives, and that we're going to receive unexpected income. We're going to receive increased promotion and overflow in every area of our life. That we're going to have good health. We're going to have peace of mind. We're going to have strength. We're going to have love. We're going to have joy. That all those things shall be in abundance for us. And God, we thank you that we're going to go forth and plant seeds and believe God for the harvest. And God, we love you. We praise you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Listen, if you have not picked up your card for your year of much, it's in the foyer on the table. Your bookmark and your card for the year of much to your reminder. God bless you all. Have a great week.